Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T and Reverend C, my beautiful wife. So today we're going to be jumping into lesson 198 here on our Course Mastery discussion of A Course in Miracles workbook lessons. Only my condemnation injures me. Only my condemnation injures me. So let's take a good deep breath and pause for just a second as we consider this lesson. Only my condemnation injures me. Injury is impossible, and yet illusions makes illusion. If you can condemn, you can be injured. For you have believed that you can injure, and the right you have established for yourself can be now used against you, till you lay it down as valueless, unwanted, and unreal. Then does illusion cease to have effects, and all it seemed to have will be undone. There are you free, for freedom is your gift, and you can now receive the gift you gave.
Condemn and you are made a prisoner. Forgive and you are freed. Such is the law that rules perception. It is not a law that knowledge understands, for freedom is a part of knowledge. To condemn is thus impossible in truth. What seems to be its influence and its effects have not occurred at all. Yet must we deal with them a while as if they had. Illusion makes illusion. Except one. Forgiveness is illusion that is answer to the rest.
Forgiveness sweeps all other dreams away, and though it is itself a dream, it breeds no others. All illusions, save this one, must multiply a thousandfold. But this is where illusions end. Forgiveness is the end of dreams because it is a dream of waking. It is not itself the truth, yet does it point to where the truth must be and gives direction with the certainty of God Himself. It is a dream in which the Son of God awakens to His self and His Father, knowing they are one.
Forgiveness is the only road that leads out of disaster, past all suffering, and finally away from death. How could there be another way when this one is the plan of God Himself? And why would you oppose it, quarrel with it, seek to find a thousand ways in which it must be wrong, a thousand other possibilities?
Is it not wiser to be glad you hold the answer to your problems in your hand? Is it not more intelligent to think that the one who gives salvation and to thank, Is it not more intelligent to thank the one who gives salvation and accept his gift with gratitude? And is it not a kindness to yourself to hear his voice and learn the simple lessons that he would teach, instead of trying to dismiss his words and substitute your own in place of his?
His words will work. His words will save. His words contain all hope, all blessing, and all joy that ever can be found upon this earth. His words are born in God and come to you with heaven's love upon them. Those who hear his words have heard the song of heaven, for these are the words in which all will merge as one at last. And as this one will fade away, the word of God will come to take its place, for it will be remembered then and loved.
This world has many seeming separate haunts where mercy has no meaning, and attack appears as justified. Yet all are one, a place where death is offered to God's Son and to His Father. You may think they have accepted, but if you will look again upon the place where you behold their blood, you will perceive a miracle instead.
How foolish to believe that they could die. How foolish to believe you can attack. How mad to think that you could be condemned and that the Holy Son of God can die. The stillness of yourself remains unmoved, untouched by thoughts like these. and unaware of any condemnation which could need forgiveness. Dreams of any kind are strange and alien to the truth. Yet, what but truth could have a thought which builds a bridge to truth, which brings illusions to the other side?
Today, then, we practice letting freedom come to make its home with you. The truth bestows these words upon your mind that you may find the key to light and let the darkness end. Only my condemnation injures me. Only my forgiveness sets me free.
Do not forget today that there can be no form of suffering that fails to hide an unforgiving thought, nor can there be a form of pain forgiveness cannot heal.
Except the one illusion which proclaims there is no condemnation in God's Son, and heaven is remembered instantly. The world forgotten, all its weird beliefs forgiven or forgotten with it, as the face of Christ appears unveiled at last in this one dream. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit holds for you from God your Father. Let today be celebrated both on earth and in your holy home as well. Be kind to both as you forgive the trespasses you thought them guilty of, and see your innocence shining upon you from the face of Christ.
Now is there silence all around the world. Now is there stillness where before there was a frantic rush of thoughts that made no sense. Now is there tranquil light across the face of earth, made quiet in a dreamless sleep. And now the word of God alone remains upon it. Only that can be perceived an instant longer. Then are symbols done, and everything you ever thought you made completely vanished from the mind which God forever knows to be His only Son.
There is no condemnation in Him. He is perfect in His holiness. He needs no thoughts of mercy. Who could give Him gifts when everything is His? And who could dream of offering forgiveness to the Son of sinlessness itself? So like to Him whose Son He is, that to behold the Son is to perceive no more and only know the Father. And this vision of the Son, so brief that not an instant stands between this single sight and timelessness itself, you see the vision of yourself, and then you disappear forever into God.
Today we come still nearer to the end of everything that yet would stand between the vision, this vision, and our sight. And we are glad that we have come this far and recognize that He who brought us here will not forsake us now, for He would give us the gift that God has given us through Him today. Now is the time for your deliverance. The time has come. The time has come today.
Only my condemnation injures me. Let's take a good deep breath and again pause for just a moment as we consider this lesson in silence. Only my condemnation injures me. This is a game we play with ourselves. The game of separation, the game of insanity. As the Course in Miracles tells us, it's literally a tiny mad idea. A tiny mad idea. He says it quite plainly, even in the beginning in the first paragraph, then you are free. Illusion ceases to have effects, and all it seemed to have will be undone. Then you are free, for freedom is your gift, and you can now receive the gift you gave. What would be the gift you're giving, right? Would be to withhold condemnation from anyone else, because really there is no one else out there, as we are all one in God. So we're really condemning ourselves. We're injuring ourselves if we bring any condemnation, and we could replace the word condemnation really with the word judgment. Because that is the almost nonstop, continuous application of the thought system of fear, the thought system of the ego self, as we define it here in A Course in Miracles. It is continuously in the process of evaluating everything outside itself, seeing itself as separate from everything outside itself, and literally in about 1/10,000th of a second, bringing all of its history of what it sees, its identification with what it sees in the sense that if I see a glass of water, I know it's a glass of water. How do I know it's a glass of water? I can only know that from my history. When you move your eyes around the room right now, no matter what your eyes land on, and it has a name, how long does it take you to see the name? Within a fraction of a second, your mind brings forth all of the judgment, all of the history, all of the gift that you've been given from the past of the decisions others have made and gifted you with and that you have made and gifted yourself with, so to speak, of everything around you. And in that instant, you make a judgment. We could call that judgment, if it's a judgment of condemnation, insanity. And I say that quite seriously because we have, the ego self, has no ability to judge whatsoever. And so it's literally almost hilarious. But it's certainly a paradox that that is what it's engaged in throughout our lives, throughout our day. We are continuously looking about ourselves to decide whether or not we need to place condemnation on the events of our life. And you don't have to get too far down the street today or outside your door, if you can even get outside the door today, because we're still kind of in a lockdown situation here. But the point is, there is condemnation everywhere from every corner of the world today about what's going on in the world today. It literally appears to be a world of chaos. So if we can't see the insanity of the thought system of the ego in what's happening in our world, in our lives right now today, we may never get it. But it is, as he says here again and again in this lesson today, much like the dreams we had last night. And when we wake up from it, we realize its utter valuelessness. It has no real impact. Dreams have no effect.
Wow. So as you were sharing, I was thinking, you know, how do we, you know, proceed in our life, or, you know, without judging, without discerning, without even condemning? You know, it just seems impossible because of the thought system we've been immersed in, and, you know, the structures that we have in place that that keep us safe. You know, I think that we believe that to judge keeps us safe, and I know that that's not the truth, but I believe that that's how we've been proceeding. And I think of when you and I would go to the gym, we used to go when it was open to Planet Fitness. And yeah. I always like because that place, because they have cool sayings on the wall. And one of them says judgment-free zone. And I just like this idea of, you know, cultivating consciousness as a judgment-free zone, and that that is where our freedom lies. That there's just, like I said, I think yesterday, there's just no wiggle room left. And so as you were sharing, and then that combined with this lesson, I was really thinking that, you know, getting that it is truly a lesson in innocence, It's a lesson in my own innocence and therefore the innocence of others. So if only my condemnation injures me, it is my innocence that sets me free. And what a relief that is, because I don't know about you or you, Tony, or you, the you who is listening, I've been so hard on myself. You know, and it's only my condemnation that injures me. It really removes this whole concept of victim consciousness. There's nobody out there doing anything to me. It's all kind of self-inflicted. And that when I can, you know, turn within to this judgment-free zone, to this holy instant, to this moment of not having to name or claim or say what something is or what something isn't or any of that, there is a deep and profound relief of a burden and freedom. And so a couple of things that I just want to say that I really like, I love this idea of the law that rules perception. Condemn and you are a prisoner. Forgive and you are freed. It's just, it really is simple. You know, we're getting the same true thought principles infused throughout this whole thing. And how great it is to be freed from the seeming haunts. He's got that down in paragraph 7. The seeming haunts of my very own mind, which can be a really dangerous neighborhood to be in, that my freedom lies in my innocence, in my releasing all judgment. And I think this is one of the first times I've really thought of forgiveness as the last illusion. Like the crucifixion was the last foolish journey. You know, forgiveness is the last illusion, the one that collapses all others. And that really hit home for me. And the idea that as we practice this, now is there silence.
Whew. So what is the silence? The silence is literally the absence. This is the fun part for me. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's the absence of thought, the thinking mind.
Yeah.
If you didn't have all that self-chatter going on, all that the thinking of the thinking self going on in our mind, constantly going, thousands and thousands and thousands of thoughts every day, and many of them the same thought over and over and over and over, you know, and they're just playing this, you know, like this den of roar in the background, and we ignore it most of the time, but our self-talk is really instructive in our consciousness and our consciousness level where it's at. But when all of that's when that's silenced, what's left is literally just the peace of God. So he's literally saying in this lesson that the only thing that injures me is my condemnation. And we could say that's judgment. And what is judgment but a thought? So we could also simplify it and say, you know, another way of looking at it is the only thing that's really injuring me is for my own thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it goes back to our very first, true thought principle that we share so often as a foundational principle that we build our teaching off of, which is thoughts are things, and yes, they're out picturing and they're manifesting as our experience, but nonetheless, I just want to say that it's that simple. And that's, even that is a difficult thought for the ego mind, because we want to think that quote unquote salvation or enlightenment or ascension, or whatever Jesus went through when he was here, he must have had different thoughts. He says, when you see me, you see the Father. What he was literally saying was, when you hear me speak, I am expressing the thoughts of God, which were always, as we know, right? As the story has told us now, he was the example life. He was the example of love itself, what real love is. And he withheld, if we could say then, condemnation. You never really hear him condemning anyone. I know we had that story in the Bible about the, you know, the temple, and he threw out, as it was translated, as the money changers, right? And people say, oh, well, Jesus got angry, because in A Course in Miracles, they say, oh, you never have a, you know, there's never an excuse for anger. And, you know, I've had people that I've had discussions with about that, you know, well, he got angry, whatever. And I said, well, did he? Do we know that he got angry, or do we know that he was standing for integrity? Because the story, as it came to me later from other channelings, was that those people that were defined as money changers were actually selling, what they were doing was selling animals for sacrifice in the temple of God, in the temple of the church. And to him, that was abhorrent, of course, but I think most importantly, he was simply saying, that's insanity. I mean, we have gone from literally going way back in the stories of the Bible, you know, of sacrificing our children as a sacrifice to God, to please the God, so we'd have better crops or better hunting or a better spouse or whatever, you know, back those thousands of years ago. You know, that we had to please God. What we're learning here is that God is already perfectly happy with us, and that there's nothing that we can do to change how God sees us and what God knows us to be. So it's really only ourselves that we need to, you know, work on, which is our thinking self. And yesterday, this week already, we've talked about how important gratitude is.
Yeah.
You know, that we become grateful for ourselves, the life we have and the gifts that we've had, what the gifts that the day brings.
Yeah. Yeah, well, in what you just shared, you answered a question I was going to raise about this reading, that when I came to A Course in Miracles always confused me because I didn't feel this for myself personally. And it's in paragraph 12 where he's kind of requalifying the Lord's Prayer. And he talks about, this is the gift that the Holy Spirit holds for you from God, your Father. Let today be celebrated both. And I think he's, you know, both the Holy Spirit and God on earth and in your holy home as well. Be kind to both as you forgive the trespasses you thought them guilty of and see your innocence shining upon you from the face of God. And you know, where I go with that as well, I never really felt that, you know, I never held God guilty. That always confused me. But then what you're saying about the experience of the money changers and that God would require an animal sacrifice or the sacrifice of your only son. So what kind of God would do that? A God that would, you know, condemn, right? Which it's saying here, well, you know, God doesn't condemn and neither do you. And so I'd be pretty mad at God if I truly believed, and I guess some aspect of me must believe, that that is what is required, a sacrifice. And so I think you kind of answered that question, that on some level, you know, we, an ego mind, we, you know, hold God guilty because we hold ourselves guilty.
We hold ourselves guilty. And and as soon as we do that, we do want to, you know, find the blame outside of ourselves. We project, it's a very uncomfortable feeling, right? Guilt. And so we project that out. As soon as we see somebody else, we never see anybody doing anything that we would claim them guilty of that we haven't already condemned ourselves for, right? And so not only are we injuring them, but we're simultaneously, giving and receiving are one, as you said yesterday, but we're, you know, we're the ones that are really put heaping the guilt with scoops of guilt on top of ourselves. As I was reading this morning, some other work that's coming through for us, but we'll be discussing it in some of our work and our True Thought Principles. But it was an interesting comment because it was being said that, and this was a guided, you know, channeled work, and the guys were saying, the person that's the angriest at God is really the person that loves God the most. We get angry the most. And think about your relationships and the ones that are really close to you. Who do you get the angriest with? or the people that you love the most. Mm. And so the people that are angry at God, the ones that have the highest level of anger at God for God, right, are the ones who love God the most. Mm. And I thought, wow, isn't that interesting to see how that flips when we put things from the false upside-down thinking system of the world and bring it back to the world, to the thought system of truth. We see that, as again, there is never an excuse for anger. It's just a misperception of the way things are.
And there's a thin line. That love is special love, special hate.
Special love, special hate, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, which we discussed in the textbook and in the workbook lessons. And very interesting stuff. Well, I guess we've kind of gone on a little longer this morning.
Well, I just want to say one more
thing. Yeah, please do.
Because it ends with, now is the time for your deliverance. Now is the time. The time has come. The time has come today. And I love that because that's kind of the title for the talk on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for joining in the conversation today. It's just what a pleasure for me. So we will make every effort to have tomorrow's lesson up for you as well. And one of my favorites, I am not a body, I am free. But take this lesson in today. Take it in fully. Read this again if you have time today. Remember at this point that you want to spend 2 or 3 sessions today, if you can, 10 or 15 minutes, just contemplating in your place of silence, wherever that may be, contemplating the ability to just be quiet and contemplating this lesson. Because it is only me that I'm injuring, right? When I condemn anything. So it's only me my condemnation injures. God bless you, our brothers and sisters. We love you. Thanks so much for joining in with us. Have a blessed day, and we'll be back tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions, and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will. And let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea. I send my love into the heavens and in